We have two songs that we'll be singing during the lesson today. So don't put your songbooks too far away. We will be singing number 530 a little later on in the process of the lesson. You may also want to look at the back of the sick list. It has the primary passage that we're going to be making reference to in today's discussion. What's your biggest battle in life? Is it with a person? Is it with a political party? Is it with a family member? What do you struggle with? I have to tell you, in all honesty, my biggest battle is with my mind. In Romans, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 22, I read a good description of me. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. In Psalms 131, there's what I call a peon psalm. What I mean by that is, it's not a high-powered intellectual theological discussion. It's a man talking about life. It's in the back of your bulletin. I don't know what translation Julie was coming from there, but let me read the translation I used when I was preparing this lesson. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters of things too wonderful for me. But I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. There are three states of mind that are a part of this psalm. I'd like you to think with me a little bit this morning about those three states. The first one is humility. Dictionary says humility is to empty to your heart of pride and worldly ambition. But Jesus made a wonderful reference to it in Matthew 18, starting with verse 1. At that time, his disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." A little child. I have to tell you something, Deacon. My grandson is much more impressed with a plastic dinosaur than he is with me. Isn't that the way it is with children? We have so much in our conversation about me, what I have done. And sometimes deep inside we're thankful we're not like so-and-so. Humility is a funny thing. Just when you think you got it, you lost it. Isn't that true? My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with matters too wonderful for me. Can you be content with where you are in life? And what your fame, and I'll put that in quotes, is? Listen to 1 Peter 5, beginning with verse 5. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Think about that for a moment. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. There is no room for arrogance in the church. There's no place for pride in the church. In our mind, we need to be sure that we understand that we need to treat everybody with love. That's what agape is, and we've talked about that before. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's hard for me to comprehend. How can God care for me? Knowing my weaknesses, knowing that my thoughts aren't what they always ought to be. You share that with me? Do you have that battle with your mind? I don't know how David can say, my heart is not proud of the Lord, my eyes are not haughty. But I got a long way to go. Don't you? The second thing in that passage in Psalms is peace. We need to learn to enjoy tranquility. In our Wednesday night class, we've been talking about mental health. We've been in Matthew 6 for quite a while. Jesus, in this part of the Sermon on the Mount, talks about tranquility, about being people that have the capacity to be tranquil. David says, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. I was with a family one time when they had a child, a baby just born, and the whole family standing around the birthing area. And the baby is cuddled by the mother and is quiet and peaceful. They handed the baby to the father, and the child was a little bit restless. But then they handed the baby to a non-family member, and the baby started screaming. And they handed the baby back to the mother, and the baby was quiet again. There's a lot of lessons there. One property of Deacon is he doesn't act in fear about anything beyond our house. You don't worry about the things you and I worry about. Jesus says in Matthew 6, starting with verse 19, lay out not for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. And he goes on and talks about light and darkness. And then in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for he will either
hate one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, don't take thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or for your body, what clothes you will put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, for they don't sow and they don't reap and they don't gather to barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you better than they? Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit to your height, to your stature? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Whereas if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't panic, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what will we be clothed? The pagans seek after these things, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You believe that? Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Paul writes in Philippians 4, starting with verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And he goes on in verses 11 through 13 and says, I have learned to be content whatever my circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Let's turn to number 530. And as we sing this song together, let me ask you to think about peace, about perfect peace, and what we have learned. Because that's part of our mental health, and it's part of our growth as a Christian. Carl, can we sing number 530? Have you learned to have peace? David talks about being like a weaned child with his mother. I've loved the song by Andre Crouch talking about life. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God's Word. The second mindset of a Christian needs to be peace. We allow the world to infiltrate our thinking. We get concerned with stuff that in the long term, really doesn't matter. And we as Christians should have the peace that the world does not know. If we don't, we're not like the child that Jesus talked about. The last state that is in this passage of David's is hope. Like a weaned child with its mother. Again, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, starting with verse 3, Peter writes, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The living hope. What is it to die without hope? I've seen people die without hope. It's awful. I watched a brother die without hope. I watched a father die without hope. Hope is something that is a mainstay of life. One of the major challenges of atheism is to live without hope. When I was an atheist, I used to talk about survival of the fittest, and that was great as long as I was fit. Getting old, you don't have much fit anymore. So then what? It's interesting to me when you look at the suicide rates. The suicide rates of two groups are the highest the world has ever seen. Teenagers and people over 70 years of age. Teenagers because they don't know about purpose in life. We have a generation that has not understood God's word. They've never been to church. They've never had knowledge of God's word, and they've seen nothing but hypocrisy in religion. And seniors, because everything that they worked for in their life is gone. When we're at Timbers, there's always a discussion about this. Some of those folks are without hope. And some of them have great hope. And the difference is what their faith stands for, what it's about. Number 773 is a song that I'd like for us to sing again. It's another one of those songs that talks about the question of how we as Christians have hope that is unique. Let's sing number 773 together. Let me encourage you to look at that last verse. Hope as an anchor so steadfast. You have that kind of hope? Rends, in other words, tears the dark veil for the soul. Tears away all the pain, all the frustration, all the dismay of the struggles of life. Whether the master has entered, robbing the grave of its goal. It's amazing how many people fight death. And it's a losing battle, isn't it? It's a losing battle. We as Christians have the opportunity to see joy in death. The fact that we have something different. We have hope. We have knowledge that the Master has entered our lives and that nothing we do earns eternal life. But that the blood of Christ washes away our sins and gives us that hope. Come then, O come, glad fruition, come to my sad, weary heart. Come, O thou blessed hope of glory, never, O never depart. The person who wrote that really understood life and the importance of hope. In Romans 8, which follows that discussion of Romans 7, where Paul talks about his frustrations.
He says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And then starting in verse 23, he says, we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? Think about that one for a minute. But if we hope for what we do not have, yet we wait patiently for it. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And it goes on to tell what the Spirit works for and what we hope for. That passage in Psalms is so relevant. I hope as you look at your bulletin at the prayer list, the back sheet where Julie has put Psalms 131, you'll think about how we can radiate humility one to another, how we can find peace in a world that is doing everything it possibly can to destroy peace. We are so blessed to know that the struggles we have in this life are the worst we're ever going to have to put up with, that it just gets better and better and better. And we as Christians have a hope that is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. What do you hope for? Are you hoping for a solution to your trouble with a family member? Are you hoping for a political party to win? Are you hoping for a struggle with somebody at work to get over with? Or is your hope a hope that you will continue to grow? And that as death approaches, to approach it joyously, without fear, and with the understanding that we have something better as children of God than anyone else. Let's sing number 438 as an encouragement to you to think about what your hope is built on and the importance of it. And if it's not built on the right thing, let us help you build it where it needs to be. Let's sing number 438 together.